This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Good morning, America. How are you?
And now, from the studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense, the only show dedicated to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America, class is now in session. Right here, right now. Let's welcome this week's host.
Hey, Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show with Leo Honeycutt and Rhonda Gray, my co-host, talking to you from the deep south. We're still a little cold, freezing up in other parts of the country. Sure glad to have you on the show today as we try to have some fun, talk about a little of the current issues in the news, keep you updated. One of the big issues for Leo and Rhonda is the shutdown of the federal government. I don't know just what this means. It seems like all essential services are still up and running. It looks like it's a lot of political posturing. But I wanted to get a little thought on this. Professor Alan Saxe is joining us right now. He's a political scientist, lecturer, radio commentator, and university professor. Teaches at the University of Texas over at Arlington. Got him on the show. He's been on our show before. Hey there, Professor Saxe. Glad you joined us today in the Common Sense Show.
Good morning. I want the paper cup that Elvis used.
The paper cup that Elvis used.
Yeah, there was a news story right before when I was holding on that there's going to go up for auction, a paper cup that Elvis used.
Yeah. Wow, I got a bid on that.
I'm going to put a bid on that, too.
Yeah, I might go hold $1.75 on
that. That's true.
Thank you very much.
That's true.
Yeah, good, good. So, Professor, what do we make of this shutdown? You know, we've had them before. Life's going on. It doesn't seem to really affecting much of us. I commented earlier on the show with Ron and Leo about the fact that, you know, people, they're not going to be paid. No one's going to get paid. Well, payday's not for two more weeks anyway. Is this all pizzazz and political posturing, or how much damage is any government shutdown going to do?
The real damage is toward the children's health insurance program that's being held up, and the military. The military needs a lot more money. Under President Obama's administration, the military was downgraded. President Trump wanted to raise it up very dramatically, and now that's being shorted quite a bit by this shutdown. But I think there's more to it than the shutdown. I have a small conspiracy theory, which I cannot prove, and that's why I guess it's called a small conspiracy theory. What it is, I think the Democrats are trying to push to the backboard, as far as the media is concerned, some very important things that may come out soon. One of them is this House Intelligence Memo that may detail some very odious things that went on in regard to the spying on President Trump by various parts of our own government, paid for by Hillary Clinton. At least those are the Republican accusations from some corners. They don't want that to come out. The second thing, they don't want anything about the Trump economy to be well talked about in the news media. So I think they're trying to cover up, and also the President's State of the Union address is coming on soon. So they're trying to push all this stuff to the background, and so far they've been very fortunate from their perspective in doing that. And so I think all of this is really not about DACA or about spending so much as it is about trying to keep other things from getting to the forefront.
But are the Democrats being responsible responsible in terms of at least trying to throw some things out on the table and trying to meet the president halfway? I mean, you saying it's all politics, but I mean, what's going to, at some point in time, spending bill has got to pass, temporary spending bill has got to pass. So are you saying it's all the Democrats' fault is what you're saying?
I think a lot of this they have pretty much an agreement on. It's that politics, I think, is playing a major role in this, quite frankly. It's the filibuster. Public knows Republicans control the White House. They control the Senate. They control the House. So just by looking at it very quickly, you'd say it's their fault. But there's that pesky little problem in the Senate where you now need 60 votes The Republicans only have 5-1 votes. You need 60 to overcome a Democratic filibuster. So therein lies the problem. And I'm going to be very partisan and mean this morning. It's just the mood I'm in. I didn't go to church this morning. If I went to church, I think I'd be feeling kinder. The filibuster has been used by Democrats many, many years. Republicans have used it as well. But the term filibuster really gained its notoriety going all the way back to the Civil Rights era when many Democrats in the South.
Hey, Professor, you there?
I'm sorry.
Think we...
There we go.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, it's when Democrats would try to keep civil rights laws from becoming law, civil rights legislation, and they would filibuster it. These were Democrats from the South who did not like civil rights. That was a different era. And they used that filibuster. It was a different kind of filibuster. But that's where the term comes from, and that's how it was used. This time around, I think they're using the filibuster. The Republicans need 60 votes, and they don't have them, unless some Democrats would come over. But I think there's enough of an agreement between Democrats and Republicans to get this thing done. I'll make a wild prediction. I think in the next 24 to 48 hours, it will be done one way or another. I think the government shutdown will come to an end.
Well, you know, in 2013, weren't the Democrats playing the same game where, we can't consider anything else? The Republicans wanted to kind of do some long-range spending, and the Democrats said, absolutely no, we've got to go ahead and just get an extension on the budget itself. And so I guess it depends on who's in power. They both kind of play these games, don't they?
Absolutely. You're right about that. And also, you might remember in 2013, President Obama did what some people call weaponize it. He brought out anything that would look really dramatic about the shutdown. Closed down some national parks, closed down some war memorials, brought in barricades with inscriptions on it. This is being closed down because of the government's failure to appropriate money. So people could see it and feel it. They went to the parks. The parks were closed down. War memorials closed down. And it was probably done by President Obama to make it look really dramatic. And he did. He accomplished what he wanted to do.
But isn't the same? The Republicans are doing the very same thing. I mean, you know, Professor, let me ask you. Who gives a rat's ass if we shut down some park or something like that? Yeah, that didn't affect you and me and Leo.
Okay, you better go to church, sir.
Yeah, well, no, but it doesn't affect us. I mean, so they shut down the parks for a few days. Aren't we being awfully dramatic? Social Security gets paid, salaries get paid, everything else carries on as normal, doesn't it? All effective. Yeah. So,
for the most part, everything is going to function as you say correctly, as normal. Everything is going to be functioning about the same way. Some people might begin to get furloughed tomorrow. Some government employees, and they may not get their checks. And
can we start with Congress?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Can we start with Congress?
I wish we could, but they're going to get their full payment, you know. And right. I look at some of these people, both Democrats and Republicans, and that's all they've done all their life is politics. That's all their life that they've done. And I'm thinking of Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, and also Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader. I think that's all they've known all their life. They've been in one kind of political office or another. They are what are called professional politicians.
Well, they're called lifers, and we have a $20 trillion debt. And it's gotten so crazy now that I think the number is so big that nobody cares anymore.
I think it's only a $4 trillion annual budget and a $20 trillion plus debt.
Professor, we're out of time. Thanks so much for your comments, as always. What's a website where people can find out more about you, Professor?
I have none.
Website. Well, we get you on the phone next time around. We want you to have one.
The only man in America with no website.
That's right.
I'm just a common little jerk out here in Texas. <That's it.
laughs> Good luck to you. Have a great day.
Thank you,
bundled over in the Dallas area. Hope we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Jim Brown.
Much.
All right. Leo Honeycutt, Ronna Gray, Jim Brown, The Common Sense Show. Hey, freshen up your coffee. We got a lot more to talk about. Let's talk about gasoline in Oregon when we come back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNlive.com. What's for dinner tonight? Tired of cooking the same old meals? Can I offer a suggestion? What about Cajun? That's right, Cajun. But wait, I know what you're thinking. Never tried it. Don't know how. Don't have all the ingredients. Well, I got some good news for you. Cajun Mike, host of Cooking with Cajun, has put together a step-by-step instructional video, along with the recipes on how to cook these iconic dishes like gumbo, etouffee, jambalaya, and over 150 Cajun and Creole recipes. And it's now available to you. Just think, you can now cook the same dishes that are served in some of the finest restaurants in New Orleans. And listen to this. He will also deliver all the ingredients right to your doorstep. So what are you waiting for? To order your personalized instructional video along with the recipes, go to cookingwithcajun.com. That's cookingwithcajun.com. To order your home delivery, call 855-785-0222. That's 855-785-0222. Yahee! And bon appetit!
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, there's a great revolution going on, Leo and Ronna, in Oregon. I've got a daughter that lives out in Hood River, Oregon. It's unbelievable what's happening, how progressive those folks are. As of this weekend, you can actually pump your own gas in Oregon in limited amounts. There's some groups that can't do so. But you can actually pump your own gas out
there.
Wow. They say they're still very worried about seniors. They're worried about people getting mugged. Therefore, you have therefore the law is you have to pay helpers to actually come out and pump your gas in Oregon. New Jersey is the same way, by the way. You can't pump your own gas in the state of New Jersey. And because of, so well, the high liquid fluids are dangerous. Seniors might have trouble getting out and kind of figuring out how to do the pump. I'm a senior. I'm 78 years old. I pumped my gas at Costco yesterday. Had no problem. But can you believe that in Oregon, you're finally able to pump your own gasoline?
Oh, hallelujah. It's revolutionary.
Those were the days, weren't they, when... I guess best epitomized by Back to the Future, when they flashed across the screen and Michael J. Fox and about five people rushed off to wash your windshield and button up your car, check your oil. They'd always check your oil, check your tires,
right,
you know, when you came in. And
some of us would like to go back to those times.
Yeah.
Well, there was a Paul Harvey had a story on about 4 years ago about how this lady pulled up in a Cadillac because she never pumped her own gas. But while she was, you know, while they were washing the window and they were checking the oil and pumping the gas and all that, she opens her door. She takes her cigarettes, well, the, you know, ashtray, and dumps it on the ground.
On the ground.
On the ground, and then closes her door. So the attendant, of course, you know, didn't really appreciate that. So he gets a little dustpan and whips it up in the dustpan, opens her back door, and drops it in her back seat.
Good for him. Good for him. And by the way, you speaking of the cigarette butts, I mean, people are so just careless and kind of just so irresponsible. Throwing your cigarette butt out on the highway, you roll down your window, throw it out there. Well, I mean, my tax dollars are going to clean that up. You know, it's paper.
I'm sorry I mentioned it, Jim. I'm just sorry.
Well, I'm saying, but you know, people are so irresponsible.
Well, it's just inconsiderate. But there's a lot of inconsideration.
It's paper. Jim's right. It's litter.
Yeah, it's litter. It's not. It's just
paper.
Not. I can. You know, it's not like you're throwing away a piece of apple or something that's going to disintegrate. But and you shouldn't do that, quite frankly, on the roads. But I see people, these smokers all the time throw their cigarette butt right out on the street. And, of course, that just adds to the litter that goes on the side of the road. And it just amazes me. I drove on I-10, which is one of the busiest highways in the country, had to go from Baton Rouge down to New Orleans. And I looked at the paper that's thrown on the side of the road. And it's just, I mean, every 5-10 yards, there's plastic and there's cups and there's McDonald's bags and
diapers.
Has
become a real problem.
Yeah, I mean,
just become a real problem.
Just the irresponsibility of people. I wish the states would put up a camera and really stick some people like that. Take their picture and put them up on a billboard and you know, make a point of it. Just embarrassing the heck out of them. Find the heck out of them. So
you remember the old commercial with the Native American chief with the tear?
Oh yeah.
When he saw someone
keep America beautiful,
which was good.
We need to bring him back and show people.
Yeah, we are truly a civilized society now, aren't we?
Right.
Definitely, with the trash in terms of other countries, so much cleaner and the pride that you take. And I know in some states there's much more pride than in other states. But, boy, down here where we live, just the irresponsibility of throwing your trash on the side of the road and rolling down your window. I live in a nice subdivision, and I come out every other night and someone's throwing a soda cup, you know, just out on the street.
Or a beer can.
Some kid.
I'm going to say one good thing for our state of Louisiana. And that is that last year they passed mandatory middle school education course on anti-littering,
which I think
is the only thing that will help change a mindset if you start with the kids that age.
Right.
And they learn how bad this is and how costly. Like Jim,
I think it just goes back to character, because it doesn't even cross my mind to throw something out the window.
Oh, no. I carry a little plastic bag in my car. And I'll throw if we have something to eat or, You know, I wipe my lenses on my glasses. I just toss it in there. It's just so easy to just throw into a trash can when you get out of the car. It's not a big deal.
Right.
You know, it's very simple. But
it's that mindset that you can throw it out the window and let someone else pick it up. It's just horrible.
Reading a great story that was in, I want to say, the New York Times. I'm just not sure about a major effort by the Nepal government of cleaning the trash off of Mount Everest. That, you know, when people are climbing Mount Everest, they're leaving oxygen tanks and there are bodies that are up there that can't come down. Someone's with their loved ones down. And, you know, I mean, when you're coming down, you've got your life at stake getting off that mountain. So I can understand where you wouldn't want to get, a big black plastic bag and gather up all the trash. But there's a massive amount of trash on Mount Everest. And so there's an effort to pay the Sherpas and pay them a fee to come down and bring everything from bodies to oxygen tanks to plastic galore down off the mountain to clean up, the highest mountain in the world, which is wonderful, I think.
It is, but I'm never going to be there, so really I don't care.
I always wanted to climb the mountain. I always wanted to go to the base camp. Thought I would hike up to the base camp and stay there for a few days and watch some of the climbers go up. But even that is a huge undertaking.
Yes. Yeah.
And that wind can shift at any point, and it can blow you off that mountain.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of people.
And the timing of that, when they do the final ascent, is incredible. If you've ever read Into Thin Air,
John Krakauer's book.
Such a good book about, it'll make you convinced you never want to do that.
and it's gotten so crowded. Now you might have 300 people trying to make the ascent on one day, they're just lined up in lines. You know, it's like you're standing in line, and it's not quite the rugged outdoors in which you against nature and you're the only one out there. And now it's just a whole different world in terms of what you take on.
Yes, the weather and everything makes you think that people might be angering the mountain with all that litter.
That could be it. Well, with all the illegal aliens here, Jim, why don't we just hire them to pick up the trash
on Mount Everest?
No. On your street corner.
Oh, but I looked into that. And everybody's got an answer about prisoners. You know, why are we taking the prisoners? And you see some prisoners out there, but sheriffs who I trust, who I've known for years, tell me that the cost of overseeing these guys so they don't run off or they don't get hit on the side of the highway, that you're paying people to oversee them, but the cost of what it takes to monitor the prisoners and get them out there and bring them back, it's just not worth it. They would just pay somebody to go out and pick up the trash. Isn't that unbelievable?
It is
unbelievable. I just read Mark Twain, a quote this week. I was surprised that Mark Twain said. He said, if electing people, if voting really mattered, they wouldn't be letting us do it. That was Mark Twain.
That's right.
150 years ago.
Right. So, hey, folks, Jim Brown here in the Common Sense Show with Leo Honeycutt and Ronna Gray, both of very accomplished authors. Ronna at ronnagray.com, Leo Honeycutt at leohoneycutt.net. Both their websites on our website at radiocommonsense.net. We've still got lots more to do. I want to come back and talk about a hot new mystery novel that is out right now with a fellow we've had in the show before. So freshen up your coffee. Come on back. We'll make some more Common Sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. Join the club. That's the Cajun Mike Cooking Club for only $9.95 per month. You'll learn how to cook Cajun. Just think, iconic, authentic dishes like gumbo, etouffee, jambalaya, and red beans and rice from a real New Orleans Cajun. Cajun Mike will also reveal other secret family recipes that up until now have never been revealed to the public. As a VIP member, you'll receive a couple of authentic Cajun and Creole recipes a month, a step-by-step instruction video, access to our weekly conference calls where you can ask Cajun Mike any question or comment about the recipe. Did I also mention about our product discounts? That's only available to our VIP members. So what are you waiting for? To become a Cajun Mike Cooking Club member, go to cookingwithcajun.com. That's cookingwithcajun.com. Or call Cajun Mike at 855-785-0222. That's 855-785-0222. 855-785-0222. Cookingwithcajun.com. Cajun, right at your doorstep.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hey guys, pardon the advertising interruption to your radio program. Do yourself a favor and please listen carefully. If you have tried or wanted to try Viagra or other male prescriptions in the last few years, you need to hear about Noxetril, the super pill that will transform your sex life forever. You see, Noxetril has been formulated and developed in U.S. FDA labs, and it's the real deal. Noxetril works, period. Strong results that increase blood flow fast. And best of all, there are no side effects like prescription meds. After years of research, the developers of Noxetril got it right. This remarkable pill is off the charts. Right now, we encourage you to take advantage of our incredible free bottle offer. So what are you waiting for? Noxetril. It's that good.
Call now and find out how to get a free bottle of Noxetril while supplies last. Call 1-800-993-2380. That's 800-993-2380. Free bottles for a limited time, so call now. 800-993-2380. 800-993-2380.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, first of the year, you're looking for a good read. We're always trying to identify some interesting authors around the country. I like mystery. I like suspense. I like kind of lawyers' books. John Grisham, I've read a lot of his books and others. And several new books out that we're going to be talking about in the weeks to come. One by a fellow who's been on the show today, Mike Rubin. Mike Rubin is a prominent lawyer, appellate lawyer, and written a book called Cashed Out. See, like a number of lawyers got good books in them, and Mike is of that mantra. Cashed Out is a book that I want Mike to tell us about. I think his third book in the authoring. He's a nationally known legal ethicist, public speaker. He's been a humorist.
Wait, a nationally known legal what?
Ethicist.
Ethicist. Yeah, uh-huh. Okay.
Ethics. Can you handle that word?
I can handle
that
word.
That's a pretty big word.
I know. Let me write that one down.
Write that down.
Foreign words.
Ethicist. I like it.
Mike Rubin, good to talk to you today. Glad you're on the Common Sense Radio Show.
Thank you, Jim. Pleased to be here.
Mike, this is your third book. Is that correct?
It's number two. Three is going to come out, we hope, in the next year or two.
Now, you're a busy lawyer. You do a lot of appellate work in courts nationally and around the country. What is it in general, there's a number of lawyers who write crime books, thrillers, that kind of thing, that have had real success with it. What is it that gets you focused on, you know, sitting down in the evening or in the morning whenever you do it and write a book like this, like Cashed Out?
That's a great question. What intrigues me is to take an issue and to make it into a compelling page turner that everybody wants to read. My wife and I actually write these books together, Jim. We walk at 4:30 every morning, work on the plot and the characters, and then work on the books together. And Cashed Out's our second book. Our first one was a thriller entitled The Cotton Crest Curse, won a bunch of honors. It's been translated into German for sale overseas. And Cashed Out is a legal thriller that we've been very pleased with the reception it's had. People have compared it to John Grisham and Michael Connelly and Joseph Finder. And the cut line is, if you're holding more than $4 million in cash given to you by your murdered client, you become everybody's target.
I guess you would. Where is the focus? Where is this located? What is your
location? The book is located in South Louisiana.
Right.
And the protagonist is a guy named Sheck Snyder, which is a good Louisiana Southern name.
And, right, and you're in the characters or the tribute of James Lee Burke, I guess, which is probably our most famous Louisiana crime writer, who has written so many books about New Orleans and South Louisiana, and so, who has those names along that line. You've been compared to James Lee Burke, so who's quite a writer. He lives out in Wyoming here right now. So, Mike, is this book with Sheck Snyder? Is Sheck Snyder the same character as in your first book?
He is a descendant of one of the characters in our first book. Each of our books is a standalone, Jim, and you can read any of them without having read the others. But in book two, which is this one and the next one that comes out, the characters are descendants of those in the first book, but you don't need to know that to enjoy them. They're completely independent.
Well, how do you develop that plot? You say you and your wife write these books together. I've always been interested in teams writing books together about you say you're taking a walk and you kind of go back and forth and kick around the plot. What about this? What about this if? What if we do this? What if we do this? How do you come up with your plot line and fill in the details when you're basically writing a book with your wife?
Well, that's a great question. We walk in the morning, and we work on characters first. The question is, can you find an interesting character to write about? And secondly, an interesting issue. And the issue in Cashed Out is about the issue that faces everybody, which is not in my backyard. You know, we all want places with good jobs and industries, but do you want them that have pollution? And what happens if it comes? But this is not a treatise on that. In fact, Forward Reviews and the Providence Journal recently said that Cashed Out has a protagonist culled by the likes of Michael Connelly by way of James Lee Burke. And some people write books by the seat of their pants. They simply sit down and start writing. And others plot out everything in advance. We're kind of in the middle. We know the beginning, we know the middle, we know the end, and we know the key characters. We don't know all the subplots. We don't know all the connections. And that's the fun of writing, is to find all that stuff out.
Mike, I've had a number of people say, gosh, I got a great book in me. I just don't have the discipline to sit down and write the book. And I'm here with Leo Honeycutt and Rhonda Gray, both quite successful authors. And I know they have their different ways of sitting down and writing. But do you do it in the morning, in the evening? What do you said do it every single day? What's your discipline to sit down and write a crime novel?
Well, I'm still practicing law full time, Jim, so we write whenever we get a chance. You know, if you want to find time to hunt or fish or watch football, you'll find time. And if you want to find time to write, you'll find time. I've been on a lot of panels around the country, been on a big book tour, and with other authors, everybody says the same thing. Everybody has a book in them, but nobody ever quite finishes it. And if what you want to do is make sure it's perfect before you write the next chapter, you'll never get it done. The goal is to write it the first time, and then nobody ever publishes a first draft. So write it down, and then you can fix everything. But if you don't finish it, you can't fix it.
That's true, no doubt about it. So you finish this book, and you say you're working on the third right now, Mike?
I'm working on the third and the fourth. Third and the fourth are at our agents right now. In fact, we're meeting with our agents just in a bit to talk
about. You've already finished two more?
Two more.
Are they all within the Sheck Schneider series of characters, or do they go different directions?
Each is a standalone. But if somebody wants us to write a prequel or a sequel to each one, we have those outlined. But each is a standalone because right now we're writing for fun. That's what we enjoy doing.
Mike, you mentioned, this is Rhonda Gray, you mentioned that in one, the characters are descendants of the previous one. Are they set then in different times, periods? Have you written, in other words, about a historical period and then now current?
Yes, good question. The Cotton Crest Curse is a historical novel published by the LSU Press. That's the Pulitzer Prize-winning press that also published The Confederacy of Dunces, and it runs from the Civil War to the Civil Rights era. And because it's a historical novel published by a university press, it had to get vetted by historians. The history is all accurate. The murders are fictional, but the history is all accurate. And our other books are all contemporary legal thrillers, and they're all set in the present, usually in South Louisiana. And at least one character or more is a descendant of somebody in the Cotton Crest Curse.
That's terrific, yeah. I was curious about the research. The first one had to take a lot of research for you to get all that correct.
It was a lot of fun to do. We had to capture both the Civil War and the Reconstruction era as well as the 1960s.
Hey, a lot of research going into something like that, Mike. So, and you say you've been on a national book tour. You're going to go back out on the road. What's your plans over the next few months?
In the past few months, we've been in Toronto, Nashville, Jacksonville, Houston, New York City, Irvine, California. In fact, we were at the oldest bookstore in the country that sells thrillers called The Mysterious Bookshop in New York. We were at Murder by the Book in Houston. So it's been a lot of fun. And actually, we'll be in St. Francisville in February at the Readers and Writers Convention and have a bunch more events coming up. I also do book talks, multimedia presentations on these books. And I do these both by Skype and FaceTime. So I've done book clubs and book events around the country via FaceTime and Skype.
Well, you sure got a full agenda, Mike, and congratulations, success. We hope the other two new books go well. Our readers can find out all about your book, first of all, on our website, RadioCommonSense.com, or on the Rubin website, which is mrubin, R-U-B-I-N, books.com, mrubinbooks.com. Mike, thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend. Hope we can talk to you again in the future.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye.
Interesting guy who's got just the number of lawyers that write crime fiction, just amazing to me. And, of course, you both have written basically crime fiction. Leo, Ron, yours is actually true story. Leo, Over the Edge, with his first book, was involving crime. So all that on our website at RadioCommonSense.com. Hey, one more segment. Freshen up your coffee. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi folks, Ronnie here from Life Change Tea. There's a lot of hubbub about the ramifications of GMOs. First of all, what are GMOs? Genetically modified organisms. Yee! Man-made organisms entering our body, changing and damaging us from the inside out. What's our defense? First of all, not eating them. Second, cleansing from them when we do eat them. Thank God for Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea cleanses from toxins, heavy metals, and helps flush GMOs out of your body. Our unique blend of herbs help cleanse you from the inside out, helping you feel refreshed and clean of yee. We also carry unique, one-of-a-kind supplements. So order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Rid yourself of the yee that contaminates your food and water. Go to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Get the tea. Your best defense.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Back to the Common Sense Show. Leo Honeycutt, Rhonda Gray joined me here. Jim Brown, sure glad you're with us today as we've had a lively show and talked to him a lot about the thing about government shutdown and books. And by the way, speaking of books, I think Mike Rubin, who was on the show earlier, Leo and Rhonda made the point that everybody's got a book in them. And I find that true. Gosh, I want to write a book. I've got a small publishing company for you listeners around the country called The Lisburn Press, and you can find it on our website at RadioCommonSense.com. And I advise people about writing a book and the discipline involved in doing something like that. And, you know, how do you just begin? I sit down with a prominent public official yesterday, Rhonda, and Leo came up and said, I want to write a book about my time in public life. And I said, well, you know, just get a big legal pad and outline some chapters. Say, hey, I want to start off with my early life. And here's some of the highlights I want to emphasize that would make interesting chapters. Come up with about 15 chapters, and then you got your outline to begin. And then take each chapter and start writing down some anecdotes you thought might be interesting that go beyond just your family or your community, that it would have more of a widespread appeal, and maybe build on those anecdotes. So I've got a former legislator down in New Orleans, for example, I met with last week, and he said, well, I just don't know what to write about. We got talking, and he told me some of the most interesting stories about his time when he was a new legislator back in the civil rights era and all the pressure on his family. I said, that's wonderful. Just sit there and write it down. He said, well, you know, I'm having a hard time really writing it down. I said, well, then just get yourself a little tape recorder and talk into the tape recorder and just rabble for a bit. You can always come back and cull and edit and clean up and cut back. But just go ahead and ramble and lay it all out. And so it's just amazing the number of people. But
that takes a lot of work. Well, that is a lot of mental work.
And for you listeners out there, Leo has written, what, 5 books now, Leo?
Right.
And
this is why writers are crazy.
Well, we've known that about you for a
while. I know that. That's why I brought it up.
Very well.
Well, since before he became a writer.
That's right. I just found something that would fit.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you find more enthralling, fiction or nonfiction? You've written a fiction book about a young man gets into financial difficulty, very interesting, and then you've written biographies of a number of prominent Americans. What was more rewarding? What was more enthralling to you, the fiction or the nonfiction?
I like the nonfiction because I like research. In fact, I do too much research, but I like research because what you find when you start researching people's lives is that you just can't make this stuff up. The way it happens and the way that it circles back around, it happens repeatedly. So if you read biographies or even if you read scriptures, for crying out loud, human nature is the one constant in mankind's history. It doesn't change. So you can almost predict the future by simply looking at the people.
Mm-hmm. And Rhonda, you wrote an interesting book because it was a true story. But it could have been fiction. It was a crime story about a terrible event that you witnessed, and or not actually witnessed a terrible event, but you had knowledge of. But it could have strictly been fiction, changing a few names, and you would have had a very compelling story. So you're kind of right in the middle of that mix of having kind of fiction, rather nonfiction, but telling a very fictionalized story.
I'm partial to nonfiction also, and this, my story behind Familiar Evil is a true crime story, and I looked at it as a challenge to tell the truth of a true story in a compelling way that readers want to read, and you have to get to the story behind it and be a storyteller. So that's what I tried to do. Everybody's been, on me to write more, and so I'm trying my hand at fiction now. And like the previous guest, where he said he walks at 4:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. That's not my lifestyle. But I do find that if I'm ever driving for an hour or more in the car alone without conversation, it's a great time to do what he was talking about, character development, mm-hmm. plot development, and then come back and find your spot to write about that. So I'm going to try fiction and see, but I'm very partial, I guess, from having gone to journalism school to nonfiction and finding the way, like Leo has in so many of his stories, to tell a true story in a way that makes people want to read about it.
Yeah, that's right. And people that come to me all the time and say, I've got a book in me, like you were talking earlier, Jim. I just say, yeah, get it. The only way to get it out is for you to get it out. But don't write something you don't really know. Write what you know. If you don't really know and you're trying to feel your way through, then it's not going to work.
Well, Leo, when do you write? Do you sit down at a certain time of day? I'll tell you one interesting story. We have a mutual friend called Gus Weil, who's been on, is a very successful playwright and novelist, had shows done on Broadway, for example. And Gus would tell me that he'd get up 5 o'clock in the morning and write for maybe an hour and a half. And if he was in the middle of the sentence when an hour and a half or 2 hours was up, in the middle of the sentence, he'd stop. And that was his discipline. He did the several hours every single day of his life like that. That's tough to do, but Leo, you do this not full time, but as an avocation. So you pretty much write throughout the day. Do I understand that correctly?
I write 7 days a week, and that may not be that good. I mean, in reading back over some lifestyles of other writers, for instance, Hemingway would do about the same thing. He would shut it down at 5 o'clock. Because that's when his favorite bars began to open. But he would shut down at 5, but he would also make notes as to where he intended to pick it up, the storyline, the next day. So he would make notes at the end of what he was writing. But Hemingway really did run himself crazy. He would say, when you go, you don't write, you rewrite. If you're a real writer, you rewrite. You don't just do it in one pass and say, hey, that's good to go. You have to go back. But he'd say, I want to compress a page into a paragraph, then a paragraph into two sentences, then the two into one. And try and just let the reader's imagination fire with the storyline. He'd say, I didn't paint a full picture. And he doesn't. I mean, in fact, when David Selznick produced, was it To Have and Have Not? I can't remember now. It was with Rock Hudson in 1960, I think it was. And he said they had real trouble with a screenwriter going back and forth with the storyline, and they finally realized they even used this term, Hemingway writes underwater. Because it was so scant on information and on narrative that they had to make up so much of the, you know, this, they had to build the whole scenes themselves and assume that's what he meant.
Right, very much so. Now, Ronna, how about your discipline? Because you do other things. You have a business, and you have a number of obligations that keep you busy. Do you try to work at the same time every day, or how do you discipline yourself to write?
I like to write at night. I like to write late at night when the phones stop ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet down mm-hmm. a lot, which is not great for someone who does work full time, again, like our previous author said. But that's a great time for me, and I like to get away on weekends and put a little more time into it. But listening to Leo talk, I do a lot of that where when I stop, I make all the notes, like you said, Hemingway did. I didn't mm-hmm. know that, but I make all the notes for where this needs to go next, so I can come back the next, sit down and read my notes and pick back up. And
it is difficult to do that too, because once you jump the track, if you something comes up, you've got to pay attention to in the middle of the day, or somebody calls, then it takes me a good hour to try to get warmed back up in the story and get my mind in the zone.
Yeah, you do have to get pretty deep into it to
yeah.
really get in the groove and keep going with it.
One of my not frustrations, but one of my quirks that I do a column that appears in a number of newspapers, primarily throughout the South, on the Genesis Communications website that carries my columns. And I might go to bed and think, well, gosh, I've got to write a column tomorrow. I think maybe I'll write such and such. Then about 2 a.m., I'll think, hey, here's a pretty good way to start that. And I get up and I write and scribble a note
right.
you know, next to my bed. Then maybe about 4 a.m., I'll get another note. So when I wake up in the morning, I've got all these scribbled, handwritten notes of things that I want to use as the basis of putting something like that together. So we all have our quirks. And what, as Leo said, whatever works for you.
I reach for my phone and send myself an email with these
keywords. Yeah.
And send myself an email so I remember.
Because these thoughts are fleeting.
They are. But it does require discipline, and that's the hardest part. The great thing, I think, is that there are so many, the publishing world's changed. There's so many ways for writers to get published now, just as there are so many ways for musicians to get mm-hmm. their work produced into CDs now, where it used to be so limited.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, well, in any event, if you want some more information about, you got a book in you, want some information from any of us, just go to our website. You'll find my V. Lisburn Press website there. You can see how to contact us. We've got some ideas for you who are writers, and hope we can be of help to you. Hey, we're out of time. Gosh, I'm just getting warmed up. I know Ron and Leo are. But
we got a lot more to say.
But we do. We do. We're very opinionated on this show. Hey, thanks for being with us. Thanks for spending some of your weekend with us. Check out your local times and stations to see when we're on all over the country, all over the world. We'll be here same time, same station to make some more Common Sense. RadioCommonSense.com. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
The most recognizable name in all of home improvement radio, the Cajun contractor Michael King, host of Home Talk USA, is now available for your next speaking engagement. That's right. You can have one of the most exciting, energetic personalities on the radio today speak at your next function. If your trade organization or company needs a qualified speaker to talk about home improvement products, technologies, and services, even the current state of your industry, please give him a call today. The Cajun contractor Michael King is a qualified, license-tested contractor with an extensive knowledge of home improvement construction and repairs, and is regarded by his peers as one of the top experts in his field and the home improvement industry in general. His keen sense of humor and entertaining delivery will really make your next function one to remember. Call the Cajun contractor Michael King today at 985-641-3730. That's 985-641-3730. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. C'est le bon temps roulé. Let the good times roll.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.